Goedenacht, zuster Emma. Goedenacht, zuster Emma.
Goedenacht, broeder Cor.
Van harte welkom, ook vannacht. Heel veel zegen. Gaat u gang.
Broeder Cor, ik hoor u niet.
Ik zei ook vannacht heel veel zegen.
Dank u wel, broeder Cor. Ja. Ja, lieve luisteraars. Ik roep u allen in de wonderbare naam van onze Heer en Heiland. Onze Heer Jezus Christus, die is gegeven alle macht in de hemel en op de aarde. Luisteraars, het is tijd voor het Bijbelleesplan. En u weet, het Bijbelleesplan komt van Gospel Radio Zephania, waar onze Heer Jezus Christus centraal staat. We danken de Heer voor zijn goedheid en zijn genade. En we danken de Heer dat wij de uitzending van Radio Gospel Radio Zephania aan u mochten opdragen. Vader, we dragen deze uitzending aan u op, Vader. Wilt u zegenen, wilt u de uitzending zegenen, wilt u zuster Melanie en broeder Cor zegenen, mijn Heiland en uw gezin, o mijn Heiland. Ja, Heer, we danken u voor uw liefde en uw barmhartigheid. We danken u trouwe God voor uw genade. We danken u voor dat u ons lief hebt gehad, Vader, met eeuwige liefde. En Vader, dank u wel voor de glorie van uw naam. Wil ik u prijzen, danken en loven omdat u de wonderbare raadsman bent. De sterke God en de vredevorst. U bent onze eeuwige Vader. U bent de leeuw van Juda. U bent de leidsman ten leven. U bent Emmanuel, God met ons. U bent de helper, groot van kracht en steeds bereid. Dank u wel, Vader, voor de wereldvrede, mijn Heiland. We danken u, want we hebben u lief, mijn Heiland. We weten dat u alles kan, Vader Jezus. Vader, dank u wel dat wij iedereen aan u mag opdragen. De ziekenhuizen, de gemeentes, Vader, de scholen en overal. Vader, dragen wij aan u op, Vader Jezus. Vader, want u bent een helper, groot van kracht en steeds bereid, Vader Jezus. We danken u, Vader, dat u wil geschieden in de hemel en op de aarde. Vader, dank u wel. Dank u wel voor de bijstand van uw Heilige Geest, mijn Heiland. Vader, we danken u voor uw woord. Vader, ga zo in uw woord, Vader. Uw woord vooraf, Vader. En we danken u, Vader, dat bij Jeruzalem de vrede toe bidden, Vader. En mogen we u lief hebben, rust. Genieten. Vader, wij danken u dat wij bidden dat u uw woord zegent, Heer Jezus. En we danken u dat wij u mogen zegenen vanuit uw heiligdom. In Jezus' wonderbare naam. Wij gaan lezen, lieve luisteraars. Wij gaan lezen de drie jongelingen in de vierdurige oven. De mannen in de brandende oven. We gaan eerst lezen. Geloof, vertrouwen in nood. Vurig verwachtte ik de Heere, zei David. Toen neigde hij zich tot mij en hoorde mijn hulpgeroep. Hij trok mij op uit de kuil van het verderf, uit het slijk van de modderpoel. Hij stelde mijn voeten op een rots. Mijn schreden maakte hij vast. Hij gaf mij een nieuw lied in de mond. Een lofzang aan onze God. Mogen velen het zien en vrezen. En op de Heere vertrouwen. Want, David zegt, welzalig de man die de Heere tot zijn vertrouwen heeft gesteld. Die zich niet wendt tot de hoogvaardigen, nog tot hen die naar leugen afdwalen. Talrijk heb gij gemaakt, o Heere mijn God, uw wonderen en uw gedachten jegens ons. Niets is bij u te vergelijken, wilde ik ze vermelden en uitspreken. Te talrijk zijn zij om te noemen. Dit was geloofsvertrouwen in nood voor de koorleider van David en een psalm. Hoofdstuk 40 van 1 tot 6. Gaan wij nou naar onze Bijbelleesplan. Ja, de mannen in de brandende oven. Koning Nebukadnessar maakte een gouden beeld, waarvan de hoogte 60 en de breedte 6 L bedroeg. Hij stelde het op in de vlakte. Daarna in het gewest Babel. En koning Nebukadnessar liet de stadhouders, de oversten, de landvoogden, de staatsraden, de schatbewaarders, de rechters, de bewindvoerders, ja, alle bestuurders der gewesten bijeenroepen om de inwijding bij te wonen van het beeld dat koning Nebukadnessar had opgericht. Toen kwamen de stadhouders, de oversten, de landvoogden, de staatsraden, de schatbewaarders, de rechters, de bewindvoerders, ja, alle bestuurders der gewesten bijeen voor de inwijding van het beeld dat koning Nebukadnessar had opgericht. En zij stelden zich op voor het beeld dat Nebukadnessar had opgericht. En een heroud riep met luide stem: aldus wordt u bevolen, gij volken, naties en talen. Zodra gij hoort het geluid van hoorn, fluit, citer, luid, harp, doedelzak en allerlei soort van muziekinstrumenten, zult gij u ter aarde werpen en het gouden beeld aanbidden dat koning Nebukadnessar heeft opgericht. En ieder die zich niet ter aarde werpt en aanbidt, zal ogenblikkelijk in de brandende vuuroven geworpen worden. Derhalve wierpen alle volken, naties en tongen zich ter aarde, zodra zij het geluid van horen, fluit, citer, luid, harp en allerlei soort van muziekinstrumenten hoorden en aanbaden het gouden beeld dat koning Nebukadnessar had opgericht. Terzelfde tijd traden Chaldeese mannen met een beschuldiging dien aangaande teken de Judeërs naar voren. Terzelfde tijd traden Chaldeese mannen met een beschuldiging dien aangaande teken de Judeërs naar voren treden. Zij namen het woord en zeiden tot de koning Nebukadnessar: o koning, leef in eeuwigheid. Gij, o koning, hebt bevel gegeven dat iedereen die het geluid hoort van hoorn, fluit, citer, luid, harp, doedelzak en allerlei soort van muziekinstrumenten zich ter aarde werpen zal en het gouden beeld aanbidden. En dat ieder die zich niet ter aarde nederwerpt en aanbidt in de brandende vuuroven zal geworpen worden. Er zijn Judeese mannen aan wie gij het bestuur van het gewest Babel hebt opgedragen: Sadrak, Mesak en Abednego. Deze mannen hebben zich aan u, o koning, niet gestoord. Uw goden vereren zij niet en het gouden beeld dat gij hebt opgericht aanbidden zij niet. Daarop gebood Nebukadnessar in toren en grimmigheid en Sadak, Mesak en Abednego te halen. Toen die mannen voor de koning gebracht waren, nam Nebukadnezar het woord en zeide tot hen: is het met opzet, Sadrak, Mesak en Abednego, dat gij mijn goden niet vereert en het gouden beeld dat ik heb opgericht niet wil aanbidden? Nu dan, indien gij bereid zijt, zodra gij het geluid van horen, fluit, citer, luid, harp, doedelzak en allerlei soort van muziekinstrumenten hoort, u ter aarde te werpen en het beeld te aanbidden dat ik gemaakt heb. Maar indien gij niet aanbidt, zult gij ogenblikkelijk in de brandende vuuroven geworpen worden. En wie is die God met kleine letter die u uit mijn hand zou kunnen bevrijden? Toen antwoordde Sadrak, Mesak en Abednego de koning Nebukadnezar: wij achten het niet nodig u hierop enig antwoord te geven. Indien onze God, die wij vereren, in staat is ons te bevrijden, dan zal hij ons uit de brandende vuuroven en uit uw macht, o koning, bevrijden. Maar zelfs indien niet, het zij u bekend, o koning, dat wij uw goden niet vereren en het gouden beeld dat gij hebt opgericht niet aanbidden. Toen werd Nebukadnezar vervuld met gramschap en zijn gelaatsuitdrukking veranderde tegen Sadrak, Mesak en Abednego. Hij antwoordde en gebood dat men de oven 7 maal heter zou stoken dan gewoonlijk. En aan enige mannen van de sterksten uit zijn leger gaf hij bevel Sadrak, Mesak en Abednego te binden en in de brandende vuuroven te werpen. Toen werden die mannen gebonden met hun mantels, broeken, mutsen en overige klederen aan en in de brandende vuuroven geworpen. Omdat nu het bevel des konings streng was en de oven bovenmatig was opgestookt, doodde de vlam van het vuur de mannen die Sadrak, Mesak en Abednego naar boven gebracht hadden. En die 3 mannen, Sadrak, Mesak en Abednego, vielen gebonden in de brandende vuuroven. Toen schrok koning Nebukadnezar en stond ijlings op. Hij nam het woord en zeide tot zijn raadsheren: hebben wij niet 3 mannen gebonden in de vuur geworpen? Zij antwoordde de koning: zeker, o koning. Hij zeide: zie, ik zie 4 mannen vrij wandelen midden in het vuur en zij hebben geen letsel. En het uiterlijk van de 4e gelijk op dat van een zoon der goden. Toen trad Nebukadnezar op de deur van de brandende vuuroven toe. Hij nam het woord en zeide: Sadrak, Mesak en Abednego, gij dienaars van de Allerhoogste God, treed naar buiten en kom hier. Toen kwamen Sadrak, Mesak en Abednego uit het vuur en de stadhouders, de overste, de landvoogden en de raadsheren des konings kwamen bijeen. Zij zagen dat het vuur geen macht had gehad over de lichamen van deze mannen, dat hun hoofdhaar niet was geschroeid, dat hun mantels of ongeschonden gebleven waren, ja, dat er zelfs geen brand opstandelijk aan hen gekomen was. Nebukadnezar hief aan en zeide: geloof, zei de God van Sadrak, Mesach van en Abednego. Hij heeft zijn engel gezonden en zijn dienaren bevrijd, die zich op hem hebben verlaten. Het bevel des konings hebben overtreden en hun lichamen prijsgegeven, omdat zij geen enkele God wil vereren of aanbidden dan alleen hun God. Daarom wordt door mij een gebod uitgevaardigd, dat ieder tot welke volk, tot welke natie of taal hij ook behoort, die enig oneerbiedig woord spreekt tegen de God van Sadrak, Mesach en Abednego in stukken gehouwen en dat zijn huis tot een puinhoop gemaakt zal worden, omdat er geen andere God is die zo verlossen kan. Toen bewees de koning Sadrak, Mesach en Abednego bijzondere gunst in het gewest Babel. Ja, lieve luisteraar. Ja, Sadrak, Mesach en Abednego zijn niet in stukken gehakt. Nee, want hun God was daar en is altijd bij hen. Wij doen het ook zo dat wij geen andere goden zal dienen dan onze heiland Jezus Christus. De koning der koningen, we maken zijn naam groot, want hij is machtig. Hij zal ons nooit overgeven aan wat niet goed is. Want de brandende vuuroven kunnen ze helemaal niet verbranden. Maar want onze heiland, hij is zijn engel gestuurd om te bewaken. Daar was hij in het midden. Luisteraars, wat een God hebben wij. Wij hebben een God met hoofdletter die alles kan. Maar die koning diende een God met kleine letters. Nee, die mannen dienden een God. De God van Isaac, Abraham en Jacob. De God van Daniel. De God van Abednego. En Sadrak, Mesach. Wat hebben wij een God? Wij hebben een God die altijd verlost. Hij bevrijdt. En hij vergeeft. Hij doet alles. En wij danken hem. Voor de glorie van zijn naam prijzen wij. Wij zullen niet ophouden hem te prijzen. Omdat hij waardig is. En dat hij een helper is. Groot van kracht. En steeds bereid. Dank u wel dat u hebt geluisterd. De zaak van Sadrak, Mesach en Abednego, die zijn in stukken gehouden. En dat zijn huis tot een puinhoop gemaakt zal worden. Omdat er geen andere God is die zo verlossen kan. Halleluja. We danken u luisteraars dat u hebt geluisterd. En de Heer zegene u rijkelijk. Halleluja. Amen.
Amen, zuster. Dank u wel ook vannacht. Zo door het leid, horen wij u nog.
Ja, zo door
het leid, hij
zal het ook willen.
Zo is het. Nogmaals bedankt, hè.
Ja.
Ik nogmaals bedankt en heel veel zegen.
Ja, dank u ook op de kar.
Tot morgen.
En zuster Marlene, de Heer is zeker nu rekenlijk met de luisteraars samen.
Dank u
wel. Ja, dank u de kar.
Dank
u de kar.
En
zuster Marlene.
Naar het openingsgebed van Sifonia Radio. Een uitzending ook vannacht tot 1 uur. Nu, Pastor Samueli.
This is Samueli World Evangelism. reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dr. Samuel Lee brings you a dynamic, life-changing message from the World Evangelism Center in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. As you listen to this message, your life will never be the same again.
Hallelujah. Well, last week I started teaching with you about money. And I told you that we will continue this week our message about money. And today I want just to teach you, is it possible? Just to teach you, you relax and listen to me what I'm going to tell you. Because I teach you last week that certain countries, Christianity has been used to bless them. I told you that about 20 years ago, the national income of Ghana was almost the same as the national income of South Korea. And today, South Korea is far ahead than the national income of Ghana. How comes? Why certain countries prosper, certain people prosper, and why the others are not prospering? And I want just today to talk about that with you. So just feel free. And there is only one verse that I want you to repeat after me. And then close your Bibles and relax and listen to me. Say with me, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it for the glory of God. Now, that is our verse today. And I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to teach you. Almost 100 years ago, there was a scientist, and his name is Max Weber. He's a German sociologist. He even don't believe in God. He doesn't even know. He's not even a Christian. And he made a research in those days in Europe, and he saw that certain countries in Europe are doing economically better than some other countries. And he discovered that northern European countries, let's say Holland, Scandinavian countries, some part of Germany, he discovered that they are doing well in their finances. And some other countries in Europe, like Italy, like Spain, like Portugal, they are not doing well economically. So he was very curious, what is the reason for this? Why these countries are doing well, and why not the southern countries in Europe, like Italy, like Portugal, like Spain? Why? What is the reason for that? And he put all the data, you know, in those days they didn't have computer, put it all in tables and begin to research, and he discovered something. He discovered that all these rich countries, all these countries that are doing well in Europe, they have one thing in common. And what is that? They are all Protestant. And he discovered that all of those who are doing less good in Europe, they belong to the Catholic denomination. Now, this is very interesting. This man is even a non-believer. And it is true, even today, if you go to some Catholic countries, they are still suffering. Hello. If you come to even Germany, Germany is a Protestant country. Even in Germany, the Catholics do less better than the Protestants. That is what the man discovered. And even in Canada, that is a very rich and advanced country, they made the research and discovered that Catholics do less better than the Protestants. Then he began to discover something. He began to see a pattern that why certain nations, they are doing better than the other ones. And he began to discover that that is the mentality that they are taking from the gospel. And especially, he find out it's not only the Protestants that are prospering, but a certain group in Protestants, and they call them the Presbyterians or the Calvinists. That's why today you are saying you are living in a Calvinist country, because Holland is a Calvinist society. Hello. Are you listening to me? Because Papa wants to teach you something very interesting today. Hello. So he discovered that Presbyterians or the Calvinists, they are doing better than any other denomination. And he wanted to know what is the reason that the Calvinist people or the Presbyterian people, they are doing better than any other denomination. What is concerning about money? Now, he went and discovered this, that the Presbyterians or the Calvinist people, they have a certain doctrine. Now, I'm going to teach you about the doctrine of the Presbyterian or the Calvinist denomination. There are three doctrines. Only with one of them I don't agree. But I'm still going to preach it to you. And then you will understand that why these countries have economic prosperity. All right. Don't forget, what is the financial capital of the world? Who can tell me? Which country? Huh? Switzerland. Switzerland. Everybody put his money in Switzerland. Did you know that Calvinism and Presbyterianism started in Switzerland? The financial center of the world is in Switzerland. So those people who want to be rich, 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 you know where it is? Geneva, Zurich. And it is in that country Calvinism started. Now, what does Calvinism say? What does Calvinism say? It is, that is what we need actually in our churches and in our countries, back in Africa, back in any other country. That is what we need. Now, there is one doctrine in the Calvinism or in the Presbyterian. And that is this. They are talking about predestination. How many of you know predestination? They say that God knows everything in advance. Hello. Isn't it? They say, Presbyterians say, God knows everything in advance. So God also knows in advance that you are going to be a Christian. God knows in advance you are going to walk and fall. He knows everything in advance. But there is one problem. Because in that theology of the Calvinist society, there is one problem. They are talking about the selected ones. They are talking about elite group. And they say, how sure are you that you are among the chosen? They say, yeah, I have chosen for Jesus. He said, yes, you have chosen for Jesus, but did he choose for you? You understand what I'm saying? You go to church. That is what you do. How sure are you that Jesus chose for you? How can you be sure that Jesus is with you? That is their theology. And they say that the only sign that Jesus is with you is found in the Old Testament. And what do they say? They say all the men of God prospered. They say in the Bible, men of God were rich. You understand? So if God is with you, this is the doctrine that I don't agree with them. I am not agree with that. But this is what they are teaching in the churches. You understand? Papa don't agree with it. But I want you to know about it. It's very interesting. So if God is with you, we have to go to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, all the men of God were rich. So if you want to be sure that God is with you, you must be rich. That is a sign that God has blessed you. That is a sign of prosperity. I don't agree with that because I believe there are poor people that still God bless them and God love them. But these people, they are teaching that in the churches. Now, the problem with this is that how sure are you that you are among the selected? The sign is that you are doing well financially. They are very money conscious. You are doing well financially. Now, how are we sure that you are doing well financially? This is it. You have to work. You have to work. Catholic people say, leave your work and go to the monastery. But the Presbyterian says, no, bring the church. This is what I love from them. Bring the church to your working place. This is, bring the church to your working place. This is why Europe grew economically. 100 years ago. And then what did they say? They said, if you want to know God is blessing you, work hard. Work hard. But there is one more teaching that they are adding on their teaching. And that is what we don't like. But it is very good. And you know what that is? They say, when you work in your working place, you are not working for your boss. You are working for God. You understand? This is their theology. This is their theology. So in other words, when the boss is not around, you are still doing the best service you can. Some people, as soon as the boss is not there, they don't do other things. When the boss comes, they do as if they are doing the work of for the company. Can you understand me? This is the secret why these people were blessed. Because they considered that the job that they do for their boss, they are not doing it for their boss. They are doing it for the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. Since they are doing the job for the Lord, they have to do it perfect. Hello, you are not catching Papa's point. Since you are doing the job for God, you must do it perfect. In other words, no cheating, no lying, and do your business as best as possible. In other words, when you make a product, make it best. When you give a service, do it best. Be the best. When you are the best, you are doing it for God. That is where many Christians, Pentecostals fall. They say, Holy Spirit gives, Holy Spirit take away. No problem. Holy Spirit understand. This has nothing to do with Holy Spirit. When you are in a work, when you are working for a boss, you are not working for your boss. You are serving the Lord. And when you serve the Lord and you do it as best as possible, you begin to produce good products. And when you begin to produce good products, more people buy them. Come on. Hello. Hello. More people buy them. The more people buy them, the more money you get. That is how Korea become rich. Korean country became rich because of Christians. But many people, they have the, I don't like my work. I don't want, you talk bad about your work. Even the work you get, you are complaining. Don't do that. God will not bless you. Be happy with your work. See your boss as if you are working for God. Produce something. Give your best as you are working. Then you will see God will bless you. And when you are blessed, you make more money. Now, there is an issue now. That comes the next doctrine. You know, the money that you earn, according to the Calvinist people, are not your money. That is, here it comes. It's not your money, it is God's money. So you cannot use it for your pleasure. That's why Calvinist people, they have no time for pleasure. Only one time a year holiday. The rest work, work, work. They like to work. Koreans, they like to work. I've never seen a Korean take more than 2 weeks holiday. Even if they come to Europe, Korean people, they want to see in 4 days the entire Europe. 2 hours, they see Geneva. 3 hours, they see Paris. 5 hours, they see Rome. They go back working. That's Koreans. But Catholic mentality, no problem. Tomorrow. Relax. Catholic people, they don't worry about, they look differently to poverty. Catholic people say, if you are poor, it is the will of God for you to be poor, and it is good to be poor. You accept it. It is good. That is why when you go to a Catholic country and you go to a poor area, they are more relaxed. They are sitting, drinking, relaxed. If you go to a poor country, poor area in England, it's totally different. They are frustrated. Can you see that? Protestant countries, the poor area, people are frustrated, they are angry. But you go to the pool of Catholics, relax, tomorrow. No problem, tomorrow, relax. Let's enjoy. Hello? Are you listening? But you have either choose this one or that one. If you want to relax, relax, you learn nothing and you're still poor. Hello? Somebody listening to me? So, they say all the money that you are earning through good business. Listen to me. Everybody loves good service. Everybody loves good. It doesn't matter what you are doing. Are you a cleaner? Do it good. Are you working in the office? Be good. Be honest. You will see God will prosper you. God will bless you. Now, what do the Calvinist people say? They say all the money that you earn is not yours. So don't use it for gambling or eating or buying lottery and this and that. No. All the money is belonging to God. So what do? They say 10% we give it to the church. 90% we are not allowed to have pleasure. Calvinist people, they don't like too much pleasure. Relax. They want to work hard. So they say, what are we going to do with the rest? They begin to quote Bible. And what do they quote in the Bible? They say there was a master who had three sons, three servants. He gave to one of them four, to one of them two, and to one of them one denarii. And he said, go and use them. And they went, and the two invested, the other one buried in the ground. When he come back, those who have invested doubled the money. And the master said, well done, you good leader, you good servant. But the other one who didn't do anything, what did he do? He said, go away from me. Hello. Now they use that part. And so what do the Presbyterians do? The money that they earn, one tenth to give to the church. And they don't give the money to the poor people. They give it to the church. This is their mentality. And the 90% they invest. They buy buildings, they buy houses, they invest in the church properties, they do so many things. And when they invest, they earn more money. When they earn more money, they pay more tithe. When they pay more tithe, they invest. When they invest, they pay more tithe. And on and on and on. And that is why today, Presbyterian countries are doing very well because of the Presbyterian mentality that they are having. Korea is one of them. South Korea, if you are a church and you go to a bank, they immediately give you a loan because banks are in the hands of churches. But here, if you go to a country today and say, hey, I want to open a church, don't talk about it. Nowadays, they don't believe anymore. I'm talking about many years ago in Holland, Calvinistic. Nowadays, no more. You understand what I'm talking about? So they invest. The more they invest, the more they work hard, they earn money. The more they earn money, they pay tithe. You see, today in South Korea, hospitals are in the hand of Christians. Big businesses are in the hands of Christians. Even government is in the hand of Christians. Why? Because of the faithfulness of Christians. They are very faithful with the money that they earn. They know how to invest their money. You know, poor people, you know why they are poor? As soon as the money comes, immediately they eat it. And don't get mad at me now. Immediately, let me buy another suit. My brother, don't buy suit. Save. Save and use it for good things. Why are you quiet now? Are you listening to me? You see, that is why certain countries are doing better. Look at Catholic countries, Latin America, all poor, suffering. But Protestant countries, they are blessed. Not because they are supernatural, no. Because there are certain principles that they never break. They pay their tithe. They invest their money. And when they invest their money, they invest more. When they have more, they build hospitals. They don't go just to give money to the poor. No, they say, if I give money to the poor, he will waste it. Let me make a hospital. Let me make a school. Let me make a this. Let me make a that. And so they have influence in society. Now, my question from you today is, how do you view your life? How do you view your work? What do you see inside of you, my brothers and sisters? Are you serious with God? Are you serious with your finances? Because if you are serious with finances and you bring discipline in your finances, I guarantee you God will bless you. God will bless you. Hello. How can I be blessed? Number one, begin to be faithful with the work you do. And I'm talking about the righteous work, eh? Hello, I don't mean that you go and pray and fast to rob a bank. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not easy. Because that is happening. They go pray together. They put guns down. Father, today bless our robbery. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you want to be financially blessed? Be honest to the work you are doing and cherish your work and do the work as if you are doing it for God. In other words, when you are cleaning the house of your boss, don't throw the dirt under the carpet. Clean it well. Hello. Don't say, oh, this is good. No problem. This is good. Accept it. When you are giving a service. No, do it with all your heart. Don't say, my boss is not good. Don't worry about your boss. You're not doing it for boss. You do it for God. And when you do it for God, you are bringing forth integrity. When you bring forth integrity, people begin to like you. When people begin to like you, you begin to earn more money. When you earn more money, you can give tithe. And you can invest again and on and on and on. Where do you invest your money and time? Where? I told you before, some of you, your countries are filled with land. Why don't you buy them? Save money in place of buying shoes, Gucci Armani suit. One Armani suit is 600 euro. With 600 euro, you can buy 1 meter. Land. Hello. In place of using expensive gel in your hair, use a cheap one from Hema. And save your money and do something in your country and begin to bless your countries. You see, that is the problem. We are always sitting and blaming the white man. Oh, it's the white man who did it. Leave the white man alone with his life. You continue with your life. You begin to be serious. You begin to do your work. You begin to love your job. You begin... Oh, Jesus Christ. I feel like preaching today. Hallelujah. You see, the other day I was talking with a young gentleman. I said to him, young gentleman, in our church, we have so many young gentlemen that they are doing nothing. Sorry to say, don't get angry to me. They are doing nothing. Undocumented, one. No wife, two. No family, three. Moving around, four. Nothing. I said to him, young man, why not we come together, you come together with a group of people, you know, take a necktie, open the necktie, make an operation. See how somebody can make a necktie. Gather together, brothers, begin to cut the scarf, make a necktie, put Made in Holland on it, send it to your countries. Make money. And I say this to many gentlemen. You know what the many gentlemen told me? Many of them. He said, Pastor, our problem is we cannot unite. You see, one person from my country will not allow the other one from another province to be the head. But Chinese people, don't get mad at me now, Chinese people, they don't care. You go to Milan, you go to Rome, you see confections in the houses. 20 Chinese they are making. Ship. That's why the European economy is shaking because of Chinese. You know why? Because they are united. We people, we don't even value our countries. We don't want somebody from our country to become top. No, if he becomes top, we empty his leg. Let him fall down. And when he falls down, we say it is the devil. It's the devil. He is from the devil, that's why. Please don't get mad at me now. You see, I don't want to, listen, I don't want to come to church and say, healed, healed, God bless you. Come on, the time of those things is over. We need to be adults. We need to be serious with the word of God. Am I not right? There are so many people, you are doing nothing. Morning, you wake up, you watch CNN, you go to bed with CNN. You do nothing. Why not come two, three friends together, begin to make something, begin to make handkerchiefs, begin to make something. It is worth it. A man should work to earn money. A man should work. A man should not sit down and do nothing. I am your papa. I am your pastor. I love you. I want you to be the best. Don't sit down, do nothing. Young man, young woman. Be faithful to the thing you make. You make a handkerchief, put your heart in it. You see, people like it. Cook, put your life. Why I don't see African restaurants here in Holland? Why I see full of Chinese? I see full of Thailand. I see full of Greek and Italian. Why I don't see an African? Not only because Africans, they don't have visa. Many of them, they have. But you know why they don't want? Because we are not supporting each other. We don't want the other one to grow. We don't want the other one to be the best. Be faithful to each other. Be faithful. I am not even an African or a Filipino or wherever I come from. I am faithful to you. If you come to me and you humiliate Africa, you have a problem. We Christians, I don't understand us Christians. You know, Muslims, if you humiliate their prophet, they chop your head. But if you humiliate Jesus, no problem. So I don't say go and kill people, but even Muslims are becoming angry when somebody humiliates Jesus. And we Christians are sitting doing nothing, we don't know nothing. What is wrong with us? I want to challenge you. You be the best in the things you do. When you are the best, you do it for God. When you do it for God, God will reward you. When God rewards you, you will be blessed financially. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The problem is, look, Africa has gold. Philippines has minerals. India is sleeping full of so many things. But India is rising now because they begin to realize, united we can do more. Let us be serious. But we are still emptying each other's legs. We are still saying, don't get mad at me. Oh, this one is from Yoruba. This one is from Igbo. And this one is from Hausa. And this one is Asante. And this one is Ga. This one is from Friesland. Hey, my brothers, we are all human beings. We are one. We should not even look at those things. We should not even look at the tribe we are coming from. I don't give my daughter to marry to Igbo. Hey, what is wrong with you? And we want to be blessed. No, if we are divided, if we are not faithful to our jobs, if we are not faithful to the things we do, other people will come and plunder us. And we are going to stand there and say, oh, they are chopping us, because we let them chop us. Come on now, I feel like preaching today. Why this country is prospered? And you know, in Presbyterian churches, this is very interesting for you to know. In Presbyterian churches, the sign of blessing is money. So elders of a church are only businessmen. They put only businessmen as elders. You don't see a poor man elder. All elders are all business managers, bank managers, school teachers, professors. They are like that. That is Presbyterian people. Is it not good that we a little bit learn from them? Begin to practice discipline. Begin to cherish our work. Begin to love the things we do. then we will be blessed.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the streets day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Tell you he can save. The Lord can save. Your life can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting joy and peace within your soul. Ooh. And in many ways, I feel just like that old man. Born in the country, raised on a farm. No money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, Mama and Daddy raised me up on the real deal, and that's God Almighty. And sometimes when I sing about Jesus and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody, nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save.
I'm reminded this evening of a story of a farmer that had an old goat. And everywhere that the farmer would go, he'd always take that old goat along with him. But one day, the farmer decided he was going into town, and he was going to leave the old goat tied in the backyard. And while he was gone, that old goat got a loose some kind of way. And they had in the backyard what they call an old dug well. Somebody out there ought to know what I'm talking about. And while that old goat was grazing in the backyard, he accidentally slipped and fell down in that old dug well. Yes, he did. When the farmer got back, he discovered that the goat was missing. Didn't hear no noise nowhere. So he stepped out on the back porch. But he heard a noise down in that old dug well. Can I get a witness? Well, he knew then that that old goat was down in the well. And so he tried all he knew how to get the goat out of the well. Yes, he did. Had a long rope that he got out of the bun and threw it down in the well. And he tried to put it around the old goat. Everything he tried to do, it failed. Hallelujah. Well, with tears in his eyes, decided he'd give up on him. He said, well, the least I could do for him is give him a decent burial. Can I get one witness? But you know what, Church? I'm so glad that man can decide when it's my time to go. Hallelujah. What he did, went in the barn and got his shovel. And he began to throw dirt down in that old dug well. Yes, yes. But what he didn't know, that old goat had a few tricks of his own. As he threw the dirt down in the well, that old goat, all he would do was just shake it off. Shake it off and pack it under his feet. Farmer stopped because he heard a noise in the well. He discovered that that old goat was still alive.